Exposing GOP hypocrisy. The Rick Smith Show.
The children. Yes, we love the children, which is why I think it's interesting. 3 a.m. in North Carolina. The Senate Republicans there said, hey, we got to deal with the opioid addiction crisis. And how are we going to pay for it? Well, we're going to steal it from the kids. We're going to defund the education programs that are going to maybe help people stay off of drugs. And we're going to shift it over. Again, you know, it's just one of those moments where you go, what exactly is wrong with the Republican Party? Now, you may remember yesterday we talked about Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the head of the Department of Injustice, who had issued a memo on Friday saying we're making the war on drugs great again. Now, understand, this is the same guy who's going to bring us back the for-profit private prison industry. So, double win. War on drugs, more people to lock up, private prisons, more profit for the 1%. Good stuff. Now, you, the people, well, don't give a rat's behind about you. I'm here to talk a little bit about the crisis that is our opioid epidemic and really the response that we're getting out of the Trump administration and Republicans across the country. I've asked Drew Gibson to come talk with us. He's the founder and managing editor over at virallysuppressed.com. Drew, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So here we've got the Department of Injustice saying we're going back. We're going to just ramp up that war on drugs.
Yeah, they're playing back the old hits again. It's really astonishing that you had Donald Trump on the campaign trail essentially come out and say that I am the one that's going to fix the opioid epidemic. And his main response has been, I'm going to resuscitate the war on drugs and lock up all the people that are actually suffering from this horrible epidemic.
Well, I mean, to be honest, Drew, I mean, isn't that the authoritarian way of doing things? I mean, you could go the way of Duterte in the Philippines and just execute people who are on drugs.
I mean, honestly, that is sort of... has historically been very anti-drug user. He actually said in a hearing, I believe last year or the year before, that people who smoke marijuana are not good people. He is not someone that you want on your side if you are trying to actually help and rehabilitate people who have struggled with addiction. And really, all you're going to see in the Trump administration is a filling back up of all of the cells that were emptied under Obama.
So let me ask you this. I mean, because at the end of it, you know, I've been saying for a while now, because we're talking about the opioid addiction crisis. Now it's a crisis. Now it's a huge problem because it's hit white America. It's hit suburban America. As we were before, it was just junkies in the inner cities, you know, with heroin and all of that. You know, will this change with the American psyche that it has hit the suburbs and maybe hold someone like Trump and Sessions accountable?
It's definitely changed at the state level, and especially in the GOP, you see people like Rob Portman, Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia, who are very concerned about the opioid epidemic and are fighting for actually a lot of fairly decent reform. And it's one of the few areas where there's bipartisan support, which is why it was so disappointing to see the Sessions DOJ come out with this guidance, because we were after, you know, 40-plus years of the war on drugs, we are finally coming out of the fog, and now Trump is dragging us right back into it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just seems like every bad idea that the Republicans have had over the years is, well, we're making those great again.
That's basically the idea behind the Trump administration drug policy, and what's really terrifying is the fact that when you take into account the huge cuts that are happening to Medicaid, you're looking at, just through Medicaid expansion alone, 1.3 million people in America who gained access to drug and mental health coverage could have that just ripped away. And it's going to be the low-income Americans who are the ones that suffer the most, as it always is. So, I mean, it basically every single one of the Trump administration's health policies and justice policies are detrimental to the future of anyone who is addicted to opioids or has a loved one that is.
Let me ask you this, Drew. As someone who had, you know, you have a background working at the Office of National Drug Control Policy, where should we be going if this isn't right? Because, look, there are some who believe, you know, the tough love mentality, that the only way we're going to get through to some people is you've got to lock them up, or harsh consequences, you know, good beatings in public square, things like that. What direction should we be going?
I mean, the science is pretty clear on where we should go. When it comes to opioid addiction, medication assisted treatment, the use of Suboxone and even methadone, that is the most effective way to treat opioid addiction. And the Office of National Drug Control Policy under Michael Botticelli and the Surgeon General's Office under Vivek Murthy, who just was relieved of his duties by President Trump, were very clear in that. And if we devote the resources that are needed towards both education and treatment, we definitely can address the crisis. It's just the Trump administration is unwilling to acknowledge the reality of the situation and wants to promote policies that are punitive rather than, you know, helpful.
Let me ask you this, you know, again, with your background, who are the people who are addicted? Because, you know, I've said, look, I know a couple people over the years who, you know, got hurt on the job, ended up getting, you know, this painkiller, the next painkiller, and on down the line until eventually being cut off. You know, who are the people that we're talking about?
Look around your family. Look around your job. Drug addiction is an equal opportunity offender. And part of the reason why, as you mentioned earlier, it's getting more press now and more sympathetic press is because it's now become a more white and sort of upper middle class affliction in a lot of ways. But by the same token, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect every single segment of the population. So that really the difference between how we treat addiction isn't so much based on sort of race or severity, but on class. If you have the money, you can get the treatment. If you have the right insurance, you can get the treatment. If you don't, you're SOL.
Yeah. Or the other side of that is if you have the right money and the right connections, you can stay out of jail and get treatment.
Yeah, but fortunately, there are a lot of local police departments that are sort of wising up to the fact that they can't arrest themselves out of this problem. A great example of this is the Gloucester Police Department in Gloucester, Mass., has basically put a order out that says we will not arrest anyone that comes to a police station saying they need help. If you are addicted to drugs, doesn't matter what you have on you, what your record is, if you come to them and say I need help, they will get you help. And the response has been amazing. They've had a great response to getting people into treatment. So I mean, the more police departments that can realize that they're not going to fill cells to end this epidemic, the better off we are. But that's the exact opposite tack that Sessions of the Trump administration are taking.
Right. So if I'm getting you right, the idea of, you know, locking people up in the Arizona sun, for instance, wearing pink underwear, sleeping in tents, that's really not going to help.
The Arpaio model really hasn't panned out, no.
Because there's a lot of people, especially Trump supporters, who believe that that's the way we should be going. And there are some, and I've talked to a number of people who think that, you know, this kind of fatherly figure and this kind of, you know, the stick mentality works.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that the people that are going to be hurt most by Trump's policies are Trump voters. The folks that are going to be most impacted by the loss of Medicaid funds and the loss of rural hospitals and all of these sort of resuscitation of the war on drugs are going to be people of color in the cities and rural, poor white Americans.
Right.
And so these are people that voted for Trump in a lot of ways, hoping that he would get rid of the opioid epidemic, that he would address it. And they basically voted to put themselves in a horrible position. So I think there's a huge opportunity for Democratic and independent politicians to essentially reach out to folks who might have voted Trump or who are somehow not enamored with the Democratic Party and basically say, look, we are an empathetic ear and we're going to give you help. This isn't a matter of tough love. This is a matter of simply love. And anyone who tells you you can lock away this disease is frankly just lying.
So there are those people who just quit it cold turkey. Because we hear that. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Drew.
The all of the scientific evidence says that, especially with opioid addiction and the way that it affects the brain, going cold turkey is a very, very dangerous proposition. Specifically because a lot of times when people overdose and die, it's because they overdose on their first time back out when they think that they have the same tolerance they used to. So it's a different beast than, say, alcoholism, where someone goes back out after being sober for a couple months and they just they go on a blackout, get a bender, and then maybe they go back into treatment. With substance abuse, with opioids, it's much more deadly. Yeah. So we have to treat it like that.
It's horrible, horrible stuff. And, you know, I've heard just absolute horror stories. A second ago, you brought up an interesting point, though. I mean, because I go back to the Republicans' health care, their repeal plan and their replacement, the horrible health care act of theirs. And, that in itself is a major attack on this crisis because it's going to take that avenue to get treatment away.
Yeah, the Republican AHCA, we don't have the new Congressional Budget Office score for the revised, even more hideous bill. That's supposed to come out, I believe, on the 23rd. But the first one would have taken $880 million out of the healthcare system. And as I mentioned earlier, 1.3 million people who had access to opioid treatment and medical health care, mental health care through Medicaid expansion would just lose it. And so I think that's another place where Democrats and independents can leverage moderate Republicans to basically say, look, we need to work together to help your own constituents. And I think at a certain level, people like Portman and More Capito and Toomey might be responsive to that argument. So it's something to look at.
Yeah. Are there any estimates, based on the numbers that you've thrown out of how many of those people die because of lack of treatment and basically being left on their own? Any estimates?
I don't know estimates in terms of people who die as a direct result of not getting treatment. I do know that at a high-end estimate, roughly 10% of people that need drug and alcohol treatment get it. So 1 in 10 is not a great ratio.
No, that's not. And the question then becomes is, as I was asking when the AHCA estimates came out of anywhere between 29 and 55,000 people will die next year because of lack of access. I wonder, what if we had a terrorist attack that killed 29,000 people? How would we react? Yet we've got a Republican Party who's basically sentencing that many people to death by taking health care away from them and in the opioid addiction arena, taking treatment away.
I think the general public has been pretty clear on the fact that they really do not like the AHCA. I believe 17% supported the original bill, which isn't exactly a huge groundswell of support. And people are realizing a little bit surely that even if they don't love the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, if they don't love Obamacare, it's still much, much better than anything they got before or will be getting with the AHCA. And so if you want single payer, the best way to go about it is to start from a better position and move there. The idea that somehow going back to the HCA will help us get single payer, I think, is a very dangerous proposition that will end up in people dying.
Yeah, and just plain dumb. Last question I've got for you, Drew. What do we do? I mean, nobody wants to see someone die from an addiction. We want people to get treatment. We want families to be whole. What do we do? Where do we go?
Right now, you fight like hell to make sure that the AHCA does not become law. Groups like Families USA do amazing work in terms of advocacy, trying to get them to stop. Call your congressman or congresswoman. Protest. Do whatever you can, because that is going to be the most immediate impact on people who are living with opioid addiction. If the AHCA becomes law, the amount of suffering that will be inflicted on that population will be incalculable. So really, just get out, make your voice heard, show up at town hall meetings, participate in Indivisible, whatever it is you can do, get out there, pound pavement, and try and stop this horrible bill, because if it goes through, it will not be pretty.
It's terrible stuff all around. Drew, I appreciate you taking some time. Great talking to you again.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Always good. Drew Gibson. You want to check out his website, virallysuppressed.com. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out the work that he does there. Quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. We're talking.
see them blue for me and you. And I say to myself, oh, what a wonderful world.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.